It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody tuned in all over North America. This show gets started every weekday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. Thank you to our super producer and host, Ryan Hickey. He's in New York City holding things down on the board. And thank you to you for listening, because if you're not here, there is no show. You could be in Atlanta with me. You could be in New York with Hickey. You could be in Wisconsin. Hey, home of the draft in a couple of weeks. You could be down in Florida, where Tyreek Hill had a domestic dispute at home, and now his wife has filed for divorce. You could be in New Orleans, where Zion Williamson had an issue with two women at his house. They were fighting. You could be in California. I don't know what's going on out there. I know what's going on in Dallas right now. Luka Doncic is torturing the Dallas Mavericks. Right now, this minute, this second, about 2 minutes have gone by in the second half. The Lakers lead the Mavs 60-58. And Luka Doncic, in his return, 31 points. He has 31 points. He scored all 31 of those points in the first half of this game. Look good. Go for 70. Forget 60. Go for 70. Light them up, Luka. Light them up. I'll be hanging out with you for one more hour. We talked about a lot. I just gave you a top six list of coaches in the world of sports who should have never been fired. I gave you Jimmy Johnson at number one on my list. Thank you so much. Shout outs to Corey Brewer for joining us, a Florida Gator. He won that championship, or those championships, back to back in 2006 and 2007. Corey Brewer, now a skills development coach for the New Orleans Pelicans. So I guess he's babysitting Zion. He says he needs to grow up and, you know, whatever. I'm like, okay. And thank you, Corey, for coming through and joining us. We talked about Shedeur Sanders. A lot of comments, a lot of word about him potentially falling in the draft. And even the fact that he doesn't want to be selected by any of the first three picks. And this is all hearsay. We don't know. But if you were an NFL prospect, outside of just the notoriety of being picked one, two, or three, would you want to play for the Titans, the Browns, or the Giants? Ooh, probably not. Geno Smith says he and Pete Carroll have unfinished business. How you finish that business in the AFC West, I have no idea. Ja Morant is no longer using gun celebrations. He's now graduated to grenades. Okay, real interesting there. And so we've had a busy show. You want to be a part of it? You can. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. Of course, at the end of the show, we'll talk about a few things that took place this day in sports history. And I also, yeah, we talked about coaches who they shouldn't have gotten fired. Yeah, here's the list again. If you missed it, the full list, go ahead, hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. You can listen to the whole thing. At number six, I gave you Mike Malone. At number five, I gave you Jim Harbaugh. At number four, I gave you Kenny Atkinson. At number three, I gave you Mike Vrabel. Number two, I gave you Yogi Berra. Number one, I gave you Jimmy Johnson. We got some calls in. Got some calls in on some coaches that should not have been fired. And I'll get some more of your calls momentarily. And then I did mention a guy who, let's just say, he wasn't the most endearing figure as a head coach. And now he's trying to be endearing. He just got fired last year. We'll talk about Bill Belichick in a second. He was in the news this week as for who he was hanging out with. I guess when you have a young, I was going to call him his wife, when you got a young girlfriend, keep you on your toes, right, I guess. Here we go. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4ISN. Tony is here from Louisville. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's up, Tony?
Hello?
Yes, you're live on the radio. What's going on with you?
Hey, JR. Thanks for taking my call. First time caller, long time listener. Calling from the deal. I just want to...
Tony, do you got me... Am I on speakerphone?
No, I'm sorry. I was at work. I'm inside one of the bathrooms.
Wait,
I was cleaning and went to...
You're sitting in the bathroom right now?
No, I was cleaning. I'm a janitor.
You're calling me from the toilet? Oh, my God.
No, sir.
Go ahead, Tony. What's up?
Yeah, I was just calling to talk about the coaches. I was going to say something about Rick Pitino. Mm-hmm. I'm a very, very Cards Till I Die fan.
Okay.
And I really think that we should have stuck with our coach. Stuck behind them. We know we had some scandals with the players. Yeah. Supposedly doing things, but
they were getting money and getting. There's people who went to prison because of that.
Right. But still, I still think he should have stuck with Pitino. I mean, if it was something that bad, he wouldn't have got hired by other schools or anything like that. You know, nobody would have wanted him. So
I don't know.
I think we went through droughts after we had him. So
okay, yeah, I don't know about that. I mean, I think it's witnessed. Everybody says, "Hey, the dirt that you did somewhere else, that dirt stays over there, not over here with us." You know.
I got you.
All right. Thank you, Tony. Appreciate you, man.
No problem. Thank you, man.
No doubt. Icky, I was like, damn it, we got a first. I'm like, we got a guy calling. He's admitting he's on the toilet.
Calling like, from the crapper.
I was like, whoa, okay, TMI. All right. He's just like, nah, man, I'm at work, man. I'm like, I get it, man. Get all that money. Get all of it. I like what he said. Hey, if we go back a couple of years, Rick Pitino out of his own mouth said, I deserve to be fired by Louisville, okay? He says, looking back at it now, I deserve to be fired. Was I innocent of any wrongdoing? Yes, I was. But I was the leader, and I deserve to be fired. I need to move on, and that's what I probably have learned the most. Yeah, you at the top of the totem pole, man. Like, you're responsible for the people you hire, their actions, and as bad as it is, that's why you get paid the big bucks, man. You got to learn how to lead. And even you bring people on, they're still going to do their things. People are human beings. You got to know what's going on to the best of your abilities. And if it doesn't work out, it falls on you. That's just the nature of the business. Yeah, so yeah, it could have never fired Rick Pitino, but he said he deserved to be fired. There's a couple of guys who went to prison, okay? One of the agents involved, that guy's in prison. I don't know if he's out yet. It's just a wild world. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. And I want to ask Kiki, I want to get his thoughts. If there's anybody that stands out to him that he thinks just got a raw deal as a coach or a manager. But let's go ahead and talk to Rudy. Rudy is calling up from Tennessee. He's my next door neighbor to the north. Rudy, you're on the JR Sport B show. What's up?
Hey, great to be on the show. Love your show. Three-time caller.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, originally from St. Louis, listen, we could write a book up in St. Louis about coaching changes,
okay.
Those who should never been fired, and even those that should never been hired. Never fired Don Coryell, Eric Coryell. We know what happened when he left St. Louis.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, of course, somebody else mentioned it earlier, Joe Torre. My Lord, we let him go at the end of the 95, actually before 95 was over, I believe. And then the next year he wins the World Series with the Yankees.
Well, the guy was hired as the New York Yankees manager, and the first thing they did is call him a loser.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't get it. I mean, he's definitely not, that's for sure. Well, he wasn't with us.
Yeah, he didn't win anything yet, but yeah, well, there we go.
And he was the MVP for the Cardinals in 1971 at third base. So, yeah, I mean, the guy had a history of the Cardinals.
Yeah, but that doesn't have anything to do with being a manager. You know, I mean, I just told you about Yogi Berra. This guy got more rings than God for the New York Yankees, and George Steinbrenner didn't even have the courtesy to, you know, fire him to his face. He had the assistant come down to do it, you know?
Yeah, that's true. And one more thing, never hired. I don't know if anybody would be old enough to remember when the football Cardinals were still in St. Louis at the end of the 78 season. I'm almost sure that they hired this next guy after they let Coryell go for 78, and that was Bud Wilkinson. Anybody remember him?
No, you're going past me now. Fill me in. You're saying he should have never been hired or fired?
Never been hired because he'd won championships in Oklahoma And I think when he retired from there is when Barry Switzer was the next coach, I do believe, sometime in the late 60s or early 70s. And, we've already mentioned Barry Switzer and Jimmy Johnson. But when they hired Bud Wilkinson in St. Louis, the game had already passed him by. My Lord, he was already in his mid to late 70s, if I remember right.
Oh, my God.
And he went from the college game to the pro game. And I think the Cardinals started out at least 0-8 that year.
Oh, yeah.
And
I'm looking it up now. Yeah, he was coaching in the 50s. And then when he got to the Cards, it was already – it was 78-79. Yeah, oh, my God. Yeah,
he was – yeah. Should never have been hired. A great guy, but the game had just passed him by, you know.
They fired him in 79 with a record of 3-10.
Okay.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Okay. Ouch.
So he actually did finish the season then, apparently. That would have been a 14-game season.
But
what'd you say it was?
No. They fired him at 3-10. He didn't finish the year.
He didn't. That's right. He missed it by game. You're right. Yeah.
But you know what? I don't care what era or generation it is. There is a big discrepancy coaching quote unquote students. I don't know if we could even call these guys student athletes anymore. But there's a difference between coaching younger people and then coaching grown men. And in a lot of cases, we got guys who operate in the pros. They're making major money. Some of these guys making major money in the pros, they're younger than some of the players in college. You know, it's crazy. When you throw the money out there, and I get it. Now the college guys are making money too. But it is a whole completely different world where the idea of the NBA or the NFL is the money first. Put all that other school crap to the side. We're about making money. It's a different world. And it's the same thing for coaches as well, man.
Yep, sure is. Well, hey, thanks for taking my call, man. Appreciate it.
Always, Rudy.
Love your show.
What part of Tennessee you in?
Maryville, which is just south of Knoxville. Yeah,
okay.
I'm just straight up 75 and 411 from y'all.
Okay, yeah, you right up 75. I could dig it. All right, thank you, Rudy. You call anytime, okay?
Yeah, you got it. Hey, thanks, Darryl.
Of course. Great call. How about that? Yeah, I know. I'm right up 75. I do that all the time. I try not to. Wow. It's a hard knock life. I tell you, the switching between the pro, that's why Bill Belichick, he's going backwards, because nobody wanted him on the professional side. And then he had no choice. He wanted to continue on and go coach in college. It seems like getting younger is Bill Belichick's thing. We'll get into Bill Belichick in a bit. Hickey, is there a coach, a manager, anybody who stands out to you that's just like, why did they fire that guy?
I'm actually going to piggyback a little bit on what Alan Toronto said.
Okay.
And Joe Girardi, but let's go back to his Marlins day.
Oh,
I say
my
day,
God.
Not days. 1 year. He won Manager of the Year and was fired.
Yeah.
Now, it wasn't like Dwayne Casey who won Manager or Coach of the Year that was fired and Nick Nurse took him to win the title the next year. The Marlins have stunk basically every year since they fired Joe Girardi. And it's like they were great in that 1 year he was there anyway. They're under 500. But still, you fire a guy after 1 year who wins Manager of the Year for what has been a perpetually losing franchise outside of two magical years. That's just baffling.
Now, is it not, if I remember correctly, was it not the same scenario that got him fired everywhere else? Like, we can't stand this guy. We hate this guy's guts. We got to get him out of here. Isn't that why he got fired in Miami?
Similar to Jim Harbaugh, yeah. They grade others down and they make it tough to work. But I thought at the end, the goal is to win if you're winning.
Yeah, but how tolerable is that on a year-to-year? You got somebody breathing down your neck. Oh, my God. Hick, you ever had something? I mean, literally, it's nauseating. You ever had somebody like literally just right by you? Like, what are you doing behind me? I can feel your breath on my neck. Could you imagine that every day?
No, I could not. That would be very annoying.
Yeah, it would be.
But if your goal is to win, and you have a guy there that at least has a plan of winning, and to Joe Girardi's credit, everywhere he's been, he's won. Maybe not the level that you expect, but he's won. I think it's. At what point you say, you know what?
Suck it up.
It's tolerable because we're winning.
Yeah, you're right. In 2006, Joe Girardi fired as manager of the Florida Marlins. October 3rd, 2006, after a strained relationship with owner Jeffrey Loria and a perceived lack of fit within the organization, despite leading the team to 78 wins in his only season. Hickey, you gotta at least make sure you can piss the guys off in the back, but you gotta make sure your boss is happy, right?
I mean, I guess I don't know why Joe Girardi, I guess, was pushing the buttons. I mean, also maybe you have to if you're in a losing franchise, don't you kind of have to rattle some cages to maybe get things on the right road?
I mean, to what degree?
I mean, if I'm not mistaken, haven't they made the playoffs just one time? I think they made it just one time since firing him.
Well, who watches them? I don't know. I know they suck.
That's the point. No one watches.
Does it matter
suck?
If they? Does it matter if they made the postseason? Let's look it up. Marlins baseball in postseason just does that even go?
I think it was the COVID year too, 2020. So I'm not, if you want to count that or not, shortened season. But
oh my God! Oh, here we go. Here we go. You ready for this?
Ready.
The Marlins made the postseason 3 years ago. Nope, not even 2 years ago. They went 84-78. They lost to the wild card. They were swept in two games because we got that stupid two-game thing. And they went in the COVID year.
Okay, so twice. They've been twice to the playoffs since firing Joe Girardi.
And the last time they went to the playoffs before then, you're accurate, was 2003 when they won the World Series against the Yankees.
And then sold everybody off.
Yeah. Wow. Can we just how fast can we disband them? Can we do it today?
I mean, would anyone notice?
They've been around since 1993. They've been to the playoffs four times.
But that's crazy. Two World Series. That's insane.
Oh, my God. Yeah, they've been to the playoffs four times. They got two World Series, 97, and then they won again in 03, and they only been twice. That's why I ain't got no fans. How did they ever get that stupid stadium approved, that big old garbage can? How did that ever happen?
That's a great question.
Why didn't the Dolphins get a new stadium and just... I remember at one point in time, remember when the Marlins were playing there? There's like a rain delay every 5 minutes?
Yes. Oh, yeah. And like the outfield's all disconfigured because they're playing in an NFL stadium.
Yeah, that was so crazy.
Remember the Twins on that note playing in the old Metrodome had like the
the bag.
Yeah, like the trash bag has the wall.
Yeah, that big old garbage bag in the back.
What are we doing?
Yeah, the seats were folded up in the back. And then they had like that garbage bag because they played in the same place that the Vikings played. Yeah. Yeah. We don't have no more multi-use stadiums. Huh? That's all done.
Thank goodness.
All those concrete dumps. The Three Rivers is over.
The Coliseum's still standing, but those days are done.
They got to rip that down, right?
I pray. I mean, I'm sure it hasn't just fallen down on its own.
Bruh, they're going to redevelop everything because it's nothing over there. It's nothing. Nothing is over there. They have Oracle Arena, which is still standing. I don't know what the hell they do with that. I don't even know if they run concerts through there, I assume. And then you have the Coliseum, which is right across the lot. It's nothing. Like, the train stops out there and it keeps going back to civilization. So I wouldn't be shocked if they just rip down Oakland Coliseum and develop it. There's nothing out there, man.
Oh. That's got to be spooky, too. Two abandoned stadiums/arenas.
Well, you go to Houston, like right across from where the Texans play at NRG. Like, the Astrodome is still sitting there. And I think it's owned by the state. They have no idea what they want to do with it. It just sits there. Like, I don't even think they put the rodeo in there anymore. I think they use NRG now, so.
But at least you have a functioning stadium and you have reason for people to be around the area with the new stadium. Like, you have just in that little corner and pocket of Oakland, two stadiums with nothing going on in there. That's gotta be spooky.
It is. Well, does anything go on at MetLife when?
Well,
you get some concert. How many concerts at MetLife in the summer? Who does a concert? Bruce Springsteen and Beyonce? Like, who else goes in there? I don't know.
Yeah, probably like three or four concerts.
What happened? What else happens besides? I guess you get 16. They get 16 football games out of that stoop. What, 20 of them preseason too? You get 20 football games, a couple of concerts. Is the racetrack still over there? Is that still
racetrack
over there?
Is still there and open. And I believe, too, the Izod Center is still standing, but that's been also deserted for...
The Izod... Does that still get used?
I don't think so. I think it's just there.
You ever been inside that place?
Never.
I saw the New Jersey Nets playing there. I don't know what they were calling it when I went, but that place is just... It's a disaster cave. You know, it's just... You go, I don't know when I went. It must be, the Nets were still in New Jersey at the point in time. You know who I saw bust ass in there? I remember it now. Hickey, I don't remember a lot of things. I remember this. Chris Bosh was playing against the Nets. This is like a Saturday afternoon. All I remember him, he was giving them the business. That's it. Hmm. And all I can remember how bad of a place this was to watch a game.
I'm assuming that was the Raptors days?
Yes, absolutely, yeah. Yep.
Interesting.
What a bad memory. I think Sam Mitchell might have been coaching him, too, I think, at the time.
Wow. Real throwback.
Yeah. Yeah, so, hey, Sam Mitchell, you talk about a guy who says what's on his mind. If Sam is in that same space as Charles, Sam Mitchell's a good dude. One day I got to get him on the air. Hickey, he doesn't do text messages. You got to call Sam.
Was he the one who was giving out his co-host's house number?
Yeah, he was joking. Chris Miles. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, joking.
They were joking.
He did not see. Sam, yeah. I was ready to throw hands at one point. It would not have surprised me.
Yeah, you got to be careful with Sam. Sam was in the military. Sam do not play, okay? If you would have told me that Sam Mitchell punched one of his own players.
In a timeout.
I mean, like, yep. And Sam did it. And the guy, whoever he punched, probably deserved it too. there we have it. It's the JR Sportbeat Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. When we come back, we're going to talk about a coach who, he did get fired. The fans rejoiced. He just got fired again last year, and now he's coaching in college. Yeah, you can turn your life around. I'm talking about Bill Belichick. It's the JR Sportbeat Show, the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. And I know Marco Belletti will be here shortly with a news update. But right now it's the end of the third quarter. The Lakers and Dallas Mavericks are playing a close one. The Los Angeles Lakers lead 83-76. At this moment, at the second, Luka Doncic, 38 points. He's 6 of 9 from downtown. He's 13 of 22 from the field overall. To go along with Luka's 38 points, he also has 5 rebounds, 5 assists. And let me check this one here. Hickey, no technical fouls by Luka. Like, nothing to yell about today, right?
Zero techs. And I haven't even seen him, like, even so much as look or throw a scowl towards the ref. He's been very quiet and just going about his business.
I haven't seen him throw a scowl at anybody. What's it gives? I don't know.
I mean, maybe he's just super focused, trying to bottle it all in. And if you're the Lakers, that's how do you channel this and just have him do and act like this every night? You got to feel good about your chances going forward.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You hope so. I still hope he curses somebody out at the end of the game, okay? That's what I want. I want to see him curse out Nico. But Nico's going to be long gone, okay? That whistle's going to blow. That man's back will have turned around towards the back before the whistle blows. Hey, his star acquisition, Anthony Davis, 9 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists. Whoop-de-doo. Whoop-de-freaking-doo.
That's the guy that's supposed to give the Mavericks a better chance to win right now than Luka, right?
Uh-huh, yeah. Hmm. What a dumbass world we live in, man. That's just so many dumb things. Oh, my God. What a world. We live in a crazy world. I think I mentioned this earlier in the show. If I didn't, here's a chance. Vladimir Guerrero Jr., we talked about him the other day, a $500 million contract. They're giving this dude $325 million of that money up front. I've never heard of this in baseball. Like, every year is something different. Hey, we're going to give Shohei Ohtani $70 a year, but nah, we're just going to pay him $2 a year. And then when he's retired, we're going to pay him $28 million a year for 10 years. Like, what are we doing? And you know what? I said it wrong. $68 million. Hickey, I want $2 million this year for the next 10 years. And then 10 years after that, I want $68 million per.
So do I. Where can I sign? Take that deal in a second.
These contracts, they just let him do everything, huh? It's like, oh, sure, why not? Here's all $500 million up front. Why not? We just got it in the bank. Here, take it.
You're playing for free the rest of your contract.
All right. What type of cockamamie contract are they going to come up with next? Like, here, take all your money up front. You defer all your money. If you're the New York Mets, when's Bobby Bonilla? Is it June 1st?
June 1st until like 2036, 2034.
We got another 11 years.
Of Bobby Bonilla Day.
And Steve Cohen is just doing it just because, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm not financially smart enough to say that if you're Bobby Bonilla, do you just take a lump sum now, or is it worth still getting $1 million over the course of the next decade? I don't know. But I think if I was Bobby Bonilla, I'd try to, you know, have this go as long as possible. I wouldn't take a lump sum.
Oh, man. Hickey, this is why I'm back to that scene from The Joker. I'm back to that scene from The Joker. They'll wake up and rob a bank one day, man.
If you do it right, it pays.
What? Who robs a Kansas City Chiefs? Didn't they have a fan, a wolf, try to rob a bank? He got caught.
Well, he got caught after, like, try 15. So,
he robbed 15 banks?
Yeah, it was a good amount. It was double digits, at least.
He should have stopped at three. He wasn't getting enough money.
Well, I think he's going petty cash. I think it was more like teachers, credit union. Like, he wasn't exactly going to Chase Bank and saying, give me, unload the vault.
This guy was walking away with 50s, right? That's it? How much you get from that robbery? $25. Okay.
So I kept going.
Yeah. Was it worth it? Wow.
No.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But he did get a documentary after him, so I guess, he's famous.
Is it on Netflix?
One of those streaming channels.
What Wolf a world. Man. The Wolf Man. Yeah. Anyway, Bill Belichick. He makes a lot of money, too. $10 million a year, coach in North Carolina, until he decides to just go and quit. May happen. I don't know. Who knows? We got to see him coach his first game. And I was I guess I can't be surprised. Lil Wayne was at his practice. I'm like, what are we doing? Like, it was just for fun? He just showed up for the photo op? Like, what is Lil Wayne doing at UNC? And he took a photo with Bill Belichick and his girlfriend. Hickey, you think Bill Belichick plays Lil Weezy?
No. But maybe as I'm teaching the DBs. Lil Wayne's...
Teaching them what?
Backpedal. Ball skills. I don't know.
I think one of Lil Wayne's greatest rappers, and he's a great lyricist. Yes, he's amazing. Some of the things he says is just like, whoa, he's very thoughtful. I don't know how thoughtful he is now. I don't want to hear none of his music. One of his worst lines. Hickey, you ever heard this? Weezy F Baby and the F is for phenomenal.
I have heard that, yes. I mean.
I don't know.
There's a rap, maybe a song, I should say, where Pitbull rhymed Kodak with Kodak. So
you could take it back with a Kodak. You could get your picture with a Kodak. Yeah. Something like that.
So at least I like the creativity. And stretching the alphabet there by Lil Wayne versus Pitbull basically saying, screw it. Kodak.
Yeah.
Make it work.
Hey, Marco, you got a favorite Lil Wayne song?
No.
Lollipop? No? You don't like Lollipop?
No. Can't say I know it.
The Fireman song.
Out of my depth here.
There's Let It Rock, him and Kevin Rudolph.
I don't even know who that is.
I don't know what that is. Kevin Rudolph is a Knicks guy, ain't it? Rudolph didn't play for the Knicks?
Zach Randolph?
I don't know.
Yeah, Kevin Rudolph. No, him, Kevin I don't Knox. Know.
Kevin Knox? I don't know.
I'm starting to think of guys with Kevin and/or Rudolph as the first or last name that played on the Knicks. That's all I got.
I'm trying to think of a Lil Wayne song, Marco.
I'll keep thinking.
6 foot, 7 foot?
Oh, yeah, with Peter Guns' kid. From the Bronx.
Yeah. Black and Yellow?
Yeah, that was...
Is that him?
No. It's Wiz Khalifa.
Ah, shoot.
I don't know. 6 foot, 7 foot. I thought we were doing the Beetlejuice thing.
Oh, six foot, 7 foot.
Yeah, you lost me.
No, he sampled. That's the song they sampled. Yeah. That was a song. He sampled song and he rapped over it. Yeah, so okay. you like You like that. Listen to it in a break.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Lil Wayne, mm-hmm. 6'7". You would.
Okay.
Quite creative. Anyway, he's hanging out with Belichick. Hickey, what did he do? Did he say anything? Did he coach? What did he do?
I only saw the photo op. Him, I saw those two together. I saw a three-person photo, we'll say, with Belichick, his girlfriend, and Lil Wayne.
Uh-huh.
No explanation, no video, no audio. Just he's there hanging out at UNC's practice.
And Bill Belichick just recited all of his lyrics. Of course he did.
Definitely.
Yeah, let's listen to Bill Belichick in his element. This is courtesy of North Carolina football. Of course, they're trying to hype up the product. Bill Belichick being a great coach.
We got to get the gloves on these guys. It's holding on every play, usually twice.
Good job on the split safeties. We hit them in no huddle. We hit them here. At least we're throwing the ball to the right place. Then we hit.
Opposite of rotation, yep.
Then we hit a.
In cut,
and then we hit a.
That's how you move the ball down the field. You got to hit some of those plays.
It's a lot quieter over there on defense when we make a few plays. That's how we shut them up.
Oh, he sounds warm and cuddly. He sounds like a human being. Yeah, the people in Cleveland hated his guts. He decided to bench Bernie Kosar. People hate him in Cleveland. And they like him in New England. He won. And then Tom Brady, he hated him. And then the owner hated him. And I'm sure the people in North Carolina, maybe because he's coaching kids, maybe they'll hate him eventually. But right now it's good. He's friends with Lil Wayne. He's a young guy, young girl, young money, Lil Wayne. Yeah, Bill Belichick, keeping it youthful. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. When we come back, we'll go through a few things that took place this day in sports history.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Yeah, Luka Doncic watch. First game back in Dallas as a Laker. The Lakers lead 101-93. Luka Doncic leading the way for the Lakers with 38 points. Looks like the Lakers are going to finish this one off. Only about 4 minutes left to go in this one. I don't know who the Dallas Mavericks have on their team that can just take over. Anthony Davis has 13 points. Klay Thompson has 6. Najee Marshall has 23. Whoopty freaking do. What a day for Luka. I just hope he gives Nico Harrison the glare as he walks off of the court. If Nico Harrison is still going to be hanging out in the tunnel. I'll give you an update as much as I can. Maybe the game will be finished by the time we wrap this show up in about 10 minutes. But it is the end of the show. And you know what that means? Well, it means that it's time for us to take a look at a few things that took place this day in sports history.
Back in the days when I was young, I'm not a kid anymore. But some days I sit and wish I was a kid again.
It's time for this day in sports history.
You see, back in those days,
we had radio and you couldn't see anything. And it was primitive and lousy and we liked it.
On the JR Sport Brief Show.
I wish I was 50 years younger and I'd kick your ass.
Today is April 9th. It's 2025. But if we go back to April 9th, 1966. I know we talked about some of these crappy stadiums. This is a crappy one, too. Sorry. 1966 was the opening of Anaheim Stadium for the Angels. They could have moved the Angels. Move them to Vegas, okay? I wish Artie Moreno would have just sold the team. You should have left the A's in Oakland and just moved that miserable, sad sack of a team. LA don't need two teams. The Dodgers are good enough. Anyway, how about this? April 9th, 2017, Russell Westbrook, he helped the Thunder beat the Nuggets 106-105. But it's how he did it. Russell Westbrook, he broke Oscar Robertson's triple-double record. It was his 42nd triple-double of the season. The man had 50 points, 16 rebounds, and 10 assists. And then he knocked down a game winner. That's how they won 106-105. I want you to take a listen to this audio. Russell Westbrook getting down. Listen.
Russell kicks it to the corner. And he's got it. That is the stuff of legends right there. With his 42nd triple-double, Russell Westbrook has broken the single-season record established more than a half century ago by Oscar Robertson. History rewritten in Denver. Thunder's out of timeouts. Adams gives it back to Russ. Keith shot. What a perfect ending to a historic day.
That is courtesy of the NBA. That's why Russell Westbrook's career is just, it's interesting. Because he was a great player. He's a Hall of Fame player. Nobody I can ever think about played as hard as him. You either played as hard. I don't think anybody ever exceeded his intensity in playing. It was just his efficiency and his shot. It was never reliable enough to just say, this is going to be our guy that's going to take us to a championship. He still had a Hall of Fame career. It's let's see how it ends. I don't know. He's here with the Denver Nuggets. He's playing for pennies. And now we learn that old GM didn't even want to play him as many minutes. It's just it's wild, wild stuff. He won the MVP that year. Just nuts. Well, there you have it. There are a few things that took place this day in sports history. I did mention to you earlier in the show, amongst all the things that have been going on in the world a couple of days ago, and shout outs again to Corey Brewer for joining us early in the show, former Florida Gator, a two-time national champ in 06 and 07. He was here with us, and we talked all things basketball. And Charles Barkley, he was out there in San Antonio. Of course, he lost his voice, as he always does, at the end of a Final Four or a big event. And maybe this is why he lost his voice, because Charles Barkley at one point in time was on a concert stage for Capital One. And Charles Barkley said something that would have got me fired, would have got anybody fired. If you're not familiar, Charles Barkley has been calling the women in San Antonio, he's been calling them big old women. And today a couple of days ago, he took it a step further. This is Charles Barkley in front of a massive crowd of people, including women, yes, people in San Antonio.
San Antonio is a great city. Y'all are a great city. I love Greg Popovich and the Spurs. Seriously, San Antonio, y'all put on a major, major great show. And I want to say this. Thank you. And yes, y'all got some big here.
Yeah. Hey, what did they do? Were they astonished? Did they laugh? Did they cry? Were they booing him? Like, what the hell did they do?
It was, at least from what I could tell, some laughs and some boos. Because he builds them up. You guys are great. Look, I love the city. Love the Spurs. You guys host a big event. Oh, by the way, boom. Get him while you least expect it.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, but he didn't say y'all got some big old women, y'all got some big ladies. He called them female dogs. Like, man, how do you do? He is special. Nobody else could say that. Nobody. Could you imagine if Stephen A. Smith said that? He'd be suspended, right? I mean, for all this stuff with LeBron, he'd be suspended. I don't even know.
Imagine Shams Charania.
Oh, you can't say. Be fired. Hickey, comedians. Dave Chappelle.
Oh.
Dave Chappelle wouldn't be able to get away with saying that, okay? Chris Rock couldn't get away with saying that. Like, they would be all over the... I guess Charles Barkley has had 40 years of saying whatever the hell he wants. He could say anything and get away with it. He is uniquely positioned in the United States of America to just say whatever the hell he wants. I can't think of anybody else that could say in any city about anybody. Shout out to Charles Barkley. It says whatever's on his mind. No repercussions. What a world. Anyway. They're showing more Luka videos. He's smiling. He's giving hugs and welcome home, Luka. I'm just waiting on the yelling and cursing. This is the part I'm disappointed. I wanted something spicy, Hickey. I didn't expect for him to curse everybody. He's just playing basketball and busting their ass. I wanted a little bit more.
And I wonder, too, like, if that actually, like, maybe grinds the gears of the Mavericks front office more. Because that's what they've been asking from him for a while. Of, hey, just play basketball. Don't worry about the rest of the fans. And now he's actually doing it to their own fans and to their own team. Yeah. That actually may be, in like Jedi mind trick, actually make them more upset than if he was just yelling at him and giving him the business.
Well, they only got 3 minutes left in the game. The Lakers are up 105-93. Luka has 40 points, 7 rebounds, and 6 assists. So he's running out of time. They're now down to actually 2 minutes and 24 seconds. And yeah, Luka is 40 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists. I wonder what the post game is going to sound like and how gracious he's going to be. And if they got a camera there, which they do, find Nico Harrison hiding in that tunnel. Thank you again to Corey Brewer for joining us. Thank you to everybody who called up. We'll be back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. I hope you have a wonderful evening. We'll catch you tomorrow. Please be safe, be well, be cool, be smooth. The JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network is done. And don't move. Bart Winkler coming up next. Thank you, Hickey, and thank you for listening.